This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Last election season, there was an issue that came up in quite a few election contests in and around the Michigan legal system, and it's the practice of requiring cash bail for defendants in our county jails. Washtenaw County is becoming the first in the state to abolish a cash bail system, or at least try to cut it back as much as possible on the recommendation of prosecutors. Eli Savitt is the county's newly sworn prosecutor, and he joins us today. Eli, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you again for having me.
Why is cash bail a problem?
So I think it's important to take a step back and think about what cash bail really is. Cash bail is a system in which you are charged or arrested for a crime and you are held in jail before being convicted of anything until and unless you can come up with a certain amount of money out of your bank account to pay your way out. Now, if you think about what that does, it means that poor people, working class people, they may sit in jail for days or weeks or months, even when they are accused of a relatively minor crime, and even when they pose no threat to the community, again, before they've been convicted of anything. At the same time, a wealthy person, even somebody who is charged with a very serious crime and poses a danger to the community, they're able to buy their way out. So what cash bail does is it creates an inherently inequitable system and one that ultimately doesn't keep us safe because we're not making these determinations based on dangerousness. What we're doing is holding people simply because of the size of their bank account. And in my view, that is wrong. The data has shown that it does not promote public safety. And so we are not seeking it anymore in my prosecutor's office.
So as you direct your staff to tell judges, we don't think that these defendants should be asked for cash bail, judges may still have a dilemma on their hands in trying to ensure that some defendants who may be, say, for example, a flight risk or pose a danger to the community, that they show up for trial. What are the judges' remaining alternatives?
So I want to be clear about this. Not seeking cash bail does not mean that we think that the jailhouse doors should be opened and that everybody who is pending trial should go free. There are people who pose a risk to our community that are awaiting trial. There are people who pose a flight risk. But we should be making determinations about whether to hold somebody and what conditions we can impose to keep the community safe based on their dangerousness or based on their flight risk, not based on how much money they have. So there are a number of options that you have at your disposal. One may be a GPS tether that you have to wear that ensures that you stay in the community, that it may ensure that you don't have contact with certain folks. One may be house arrest. You can require somebody pre-trial to remain in their home. You might want something like alcohol or drug testing if the reason that somebody is getting into trouble is because they were using substances. You might want, and this is particularly true in domestic violence related cases, you'd want a no contact order saying that you can't have any contact with the alleged survivor of the crime. And in very serious cases, you can seek to hold somebody pending trial just categorically without any money being a part of the equation if that is what's necessary. But our position is money just shouldn't play a role. We need individualized determinations for how and what conditions we need to put on folks to keep our community safe. It should be based on their actual dangerousness or flight risk, not based on the size of their bank account.
Don't Washtenaw County's judges already have the option of pretrial release? Why is it that isn't giving us the results that you want?
Sure. And look, the ultimate decision is, of course, up to a judge. But when prosecutors are advocating for something, it's the people of the state of Michigan that is bringing the case. And when they're saying, you know, we want a $25,000 cash bond or a $50,000 cash bond or a $1,000 cash bond, that is, you know, the state of Michigan putting on the record that that is what they think is necessary. And so judges tend to take that seriously. Of course, the ultimate decision is, as it's always been, in the hands of the judges, but we are going to be advocating for a system that doesn't take wealth into account. And what we've seen in other places is, you know, look, if both sides in the courtroom are sort of agreeing on something, judges tend not to go in the opposite direction. Of course, they always have the authority. I want to be clear on that. It is ultimately the judge's responsibility. But, you know, we have fundamentally an adversarial system in this country. And if both sides are agreeing on something and there's no real conflict on that, judges tend to follow the direction of the parties.
So even if prosecutors and defense attorneys are in harmony on this, there is not a judge on the bench that wants someone who was in their court to go out and reoffend. Is it possible that judges will still want to err on the side of caution and may just release fewer defendants?
That look, I can't speak for judges, and I would not speak for judges. But what I will say is I've had conversations with our judges here in Washtenaw County. We are fortunate here to have a group of judges that really appreciates the sort of cascading consequences that can accrue from pretrial detention. The data, for example, shows that, you know, if you are held in jail for even a day or two pretrial and you work a shift job, you're working class, you are at serious risk of losing your job. You are at serious risk of losing your housing. Your kids' lives could be affected. Your kids may have to switch schools, go live with relatives. And in the best of circumstances, switching schools in the middle of the year results in 6 months loss of academic growth. Our judges here that I've been meeting with, they get that. And you know, so I'm confident and I'm hopeful that we'll be able to set a path forward where, you know, we are really imposing the least restrictive conditions that ensure public safety. That's my goal too. You say there's not a judge that wants something bad to happen when they were in their courtroom. There's not a prosecutor that does either. And we're, of course, keeping community safety front and center in all of our determinations, but we also have to take very seriously the cascading adverse consequences of cash bail on our communities. And that's why we saw fit to move in this direction.
Right. If you eliminate cash bonds, you also eliminate or at least largely reduce the role of bail bondsmen in the equation. Can you be sure that Washtenaw County will have the ecosystem it needs to track down defendants with less financial incentive for a bail bondsman?
Yeah. So look, the data on this is actually pretty clear, though it intuitively makes sense to a lot of people that, you would show up for court if you had some financial stake there, or if, you know, there was a bail bondsman that was giving you the incentive. The truth of the matter is multiple studies have been done and multiple jurisdictions have adopted a cash bailless approach, and they have not seen any rise in the number of people who are skipping out on their court dates. The experience of Washington, D.C. is probably the most instructive. Washington, D.C. has not had a cash bail system for 30 years now, and they do not have non-appearance rates any higher than any place else. They did not see the rate of non-appearance for court go up after they eliminated cash bail. What really makes a difference in terms of getting people to court is taking care of some of the barriers that may prevent them from going to court. It's things like childcare. It's things like transportation. It's even as simple as a text message reminder to the defendant to show up for court. And one thing I'm very grateful for is the Bail Project, which is a national organization that will bail people out and then provide them those sort of services to make sure that they come back for their court date.
It's been very active in Michigan. Yeah.
Yeah, and they've taken a look at Washtenaw County. They said, look, even though we're not going to have to pay the bail for a lot of these folks because you're moving beyond a bail system, we're still going to help and we're still going to provide those services to make sure that people get back into court. That's what really works. And the data is pretty clear on this. So I'm confident that we're not going to have a rise in non-appearance rates with that ecosystem and you know, them doing their great work here in Washtenaw County.
What's your estimate about how much less revenue will be flowing into the court system as a result of a reduction in cash bonds?
So it's a great question, and this is one thing that's often misconstrued around bond, because bond is not a major driver of revenue. When you pay a cash bond, the idea is that you get it back if you show up for court and if you abide by your bond conditions. So the bottom line to the county really is negligible in terms of what we'd be losing. And on the other side of the equation, by the way, is the fact that we're not going to be housing people in the jail anymore, which can be tremendously expensive. And by the way, we're keeping people, if we can safely release them, in their jobs, in their houses, they can continue to be taxpayers in Washtenaw County. And so on net, between the fact that this is not a major driver of revenue for the county and the fact that we're not going to have to be holding people in jail and they're going to continue to be taxpayers while they're awaiting trial, we'll come out ahead of this in terms of the monetary considerations.
I was interested to learn that you have a new partner in this work. You made a hire in your office of Victoria Burton Harris, who people will remember challenged the incumbent Wayne County prosecutor in last year's primaries. What does she bring into your office?
So, you know, I could go on and on about Victoria, but not only is she a tremendously brilliant lawyer and legal thinker, and she's a great manager and, you know, is just on top of everything in the office, she's also just fundamentally a warm personality that cares about people and that cares about doing justice. She is, you know, the best partner that I could ask for in this work. We ran very similar campaigns for prosecuting attorney. We see eye to eye on all of the issues, and she's somebody that really sees the whole ecosystem in which we're operating. She sees the impact the criminal justice system has on things like housing and education and employment opportunities. She understands the impact that it can have on families. And she is committed, as I am, to moving in a restorative and rehabilitative direction. She's laser focused, as I am, on ending racial and socioeconomic inequities in our justice system. So I am just as thrilled as I could be that she decided to come on board here in Washtenaw County, and I'm confident that we're going to really do good things together.
Washtenaw County Prosecutor Eli Savitt, hey, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you again for having me. It's my pleasure.
For more on the broader context of this and other reforms in the new year, we're turning now to attorney Kimberly Budden. She's policy counsel with the American Civil Liberties Union of Michigan. Kimberly, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
What's the importance of reducing cash bail in the fuller context of everything else that happens to people in Michigan's criminal justice system?
Sure. Well, one of the big issues we're having here in Michigan is that we have mass incarceration. So we are actually one of the leading states in over-incarceration across the country. And what we know is that a lot of that starts from the very onset, from the pretrial, everything that happens before a person's actually even convicted. And that's where cash bail comes into play. And so, you know, over 50% of the jails are the people that are incarcerated in jails are actually people who have not been convicted of a crime. And many of those people are there simply because they are too poor to be able to afford their own freedom. And that's fundamentally wrong.
The new plan in Washtenaw County is the first of its kind so far in the state. I wanted to ask your assessment of whether it's something that could be easily implemented on a statewide level.
Absolutely. And we're so excited to hear about what's happening in Washtenaw. And actually, we've seen other prosecutors who are recently elected, like in Oakland County, make pledges to do very similar things where they want to tackle incarceration and racial disparities by tackling the cash bail system. And certainly, it takes a lot of work. This takes a complete reworking of how our minds think about Michigan's pretrial system and cash bail. But this is something that we're seeing happen in various cities across the country, and certainly something that's feasible.
You know, the lobbying has been pretty hot and heavy in some other states where cash bail has been abolished. Who profits from the cash bail system?
Well, I think the easiest answer there is the bail bondsman industry. But at the end of the day, we all really lose, because if we're locking people up and depriving people of their freedom, that also shows that, or research shows that that ends up having a negative effect on recidivism rates. So the longer people are behind bars where they don't need to be, the more likely they are to actually commit crimes in the future, not to mention the impact that that has on people's families, their ability to get employment. A lot of people lose their jobs, their houses, and even potentially their children. So cash bail really has a negative impact on the entire economy, on the human lives of people, and on Michigan as a whole.
Kimberly, the legislature just passed a reform package that does a number of different things. It addresses mandatory minimum sentencing, rolling back some of the heavier sentences that have been part of the code. It did propose making it easier for people to get a suspended driver's license back. It looks like the governor nixed that. Can we focus on that driver's license issue for just a moment? How much of a problem are suspended licenses?
Oh, it's a huge problem here in Michigan. It's one of the leading reasons that people are actually arrested and detained pre-trial. It certainly has a massive racial impact as well. It's one of the top reasons that Black men are arrested and incarcerated in Michigan jails, which is absolutely ridiculous, because there's nothing about driving on a suspended license that indicates anybody is a risk to society or a danger, or that somebody will not actually show up for a hearing. And that's the whole point of detaining a person prior to them going into trial. So the racial disparities piece, the sheer number of folks that are being detained because of having a suspended license or having any issue related to traffic is just, it's astronomical in Michigan.
I want to pull back for a minute and think about the bigger picture. There were decades in which Michigan's elected leaders, along with those in other parts of the country, spent a lot of time trying to prove that they were tough on crime. And it appears what we're going through right now at the state level is a sea change. What do you think happened?
I think people just began to realize that those tough on crime policies and that mindset wasn't actually working, and it never did. There's a momentum here for criminal legal reform, and it's happening both in the state of Michigan, but across the country, generally speaking. I think more and more folks are starting to know folks that have a criminal record. It's estimated something like 2/3 of the population has a criminal record of some kind, and there's so many devastating collateral consequences to that. And understanding the impact of what these tough on crime laws have done and the detriment that it's caused to so many people's lives, I believe it's just a time where advocates have finally been able to get together and really push for these reforms.
Given everything that just passed in the legislature and the governor's no on the suspended license bill, what do you think are the logical next steps at the statewide level in the pace of reform?
Well, the next step is to get this cash bail legislation moving. And so as soon as the legislature gets back, I know that that is looking to be a big priority. This is something that the Michigan legislature has been working on for many, many years. There's a diverse range of coalition partners and organizations and stakeholders who are anxious to see this, to see movement happen. And it's something that's going to take not just the legislature, but it takes, as we've seen in Washtenaw County, it takes the prosecutors, it takes the sheriff's departments, it takes everybody to really get behind it and do their piece. And certainly there is, which is kind of the scary thing, there's a funding component to it as well. And so we need to make sure that we're allocating the right resources to make sure that we can get this legislation passed and really have a positive impact.
Kimberly Budden is policy counsel with the American Civil Liberties Union of Michigan. Kimberly, thank you.
Thank you.